This podcast is brought to you by ORCHSE Strategies, an industry leader in developing innovative, sustainable approaches for protecting workers and the environment. And a big thank you for their sponsorship to the Pre-Accident Podcast. ORCHSE's main focus and passion is in fostering EH&S performance excellence in all their companies. When members participate in one or more of ORCHSE's 9 different specialized networks, or if they engage in one of their task force or working groups, something very special happens. The sharing of ideas frequently results in cutting-edge solutions that have practical applications immediately. For example, ORC has been at the forefront of efforts to create new approaches for fatal and serious injury prevention and has helped plan, conduct, and create conferences on human and organizational performance. If you're interested in learning more about the unique opportunities available through ORCHSE, please contact our buddy Linda Haney at 202-510-0509. Or if you'd rather pop her an email, it's linda.haney, L-I-N-D-A dot H-A-N-E-Y at ORCHSE.com. Now, let's listen to the podcast. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I'm your loving host, Todd Conklin, and this is it, my friends, the last podcast of 2016. Are you sad? Are you emotional? It's not really the last podcast. There's actually going to be one on the 28th, which is a little operational excellence moment, and then there's a New Year's Eve celebration podcast. But this is the last kind of interview podcast for 2016. I'm wondering what the year has meant for you. Goodness me, it's been crazy this year. I'm still a little bit amazed. The election and then all this crazy stuff that's going on, that's been kind of nutty, and work has been nutty, and how business is kind of turning and not turning, and the economy, and I don't know if it's worth thinking about. But it is December 17th, which is, that little lull, kind of everybody's sort of gearing up to get ready to celebrate the season, to have a Merry Christmas and all the things that are a part of that. Whatever seasons you celebrate, wherever you are in the world, it's kind of a special time. I like this time of year for two reasons. One is pretty much everything you go to, there's food. And that always makes every meeting better. Any meeting is better if somebody brings cookies. I'm serious. Any meeting, it's just instantly better. I also like it because it's a good opportunity to sort of look busy but not really be busy. Except for your personal life stuff where you're probably just screaming busy, buying stuff and wrapping stuff and all the things you do. That's all a big part of it. Hey, today's podcast, I think you're going to really enjoy. There's a little backstory to it I need to tell you. Before we go into this too far, I spoke at a big drops meeting, which is pretty much what it sounds like. It's a meeting about things that fall and potentially could hurt and kill people. And it's a dropped objects awareness, dropped objects information, best practice sharing. It's an organization. You can look it up. It's completely worth looking up in this process. And it was a great meeting. Thanks to everybody who invited me. I had an amazing time. I got to give a big presentation and you know what I talked about. I mean, I talked a lot about the fact that asking workers to not drop stuff doesn't strike me as a very profitable way to solve this problem. That drops are accidents. They're mistakes. And asking somebody to not make a mistake is not a very robust control. And, you know, we've been talking this whole year about the fact that we really manage those safeguards. We manage those controls. And really, compliance to a dropped object policy is not a control. A control for a dropped object policy would, or a dropped objects problem would actually be something that catches the item that you dropped. However, did it. And in the midst of this, I met this young, vibrant guy who really has spent a lot of time and has made his life's work the understanding of making drops a problem that we have on construction sites. We definitely have an oil and gas. You aviation guys have a problem. Skyscrapers, window cleaners, making drops as a problem manageable. He can't make the drops problem go away because it's a mistake. So if you can't make it go away, you manage for the inevitable. Remember, we talk about it all the time, that if you have an uncertain outcome, you have to use certain language. And this guy, his name's Forrest Hester, he's just done it. And the reason he's on the podcast, there's a couple of reasons, but the big reason for me is that he's not a safety professional. He's not a process safety. He's not an engineer. He's not a designer. He's an electrician who spent his entire career working on aerial lifts overhead, and he started thinking about this problem. And you know as well as I do that when you engage workers, the people at the sharp end of the stick, to not only solve the problem but to help you identify the problem, that what they identify and how they fix the problem is almost always better, cheaper, and more sustainable. And this is a living, breathing example of that. Because what Forrest talks about is the fact that you can build all sorts of containment devices for dropped objects, but they're not worth a crap if I can't do work with them on the man lift or on the platform or on the scaffolding or on the rig. That mostly I have to be able to use this in order to get work done. It shouldn't stop me from doing work. It should actually help me do work much better, much safer, with some control over the unexpected outcome, like a drop. Well, the more you talk to him and the more I got to know him, the more I realized that he's exactly the kind of guy we want to hear from on this pre-accident podcast. He's every one of us. But I think he's different in that he's not from, you know, the big JLGs. He's not an engineer who works with aerial platforms. He's an electrician who works on aerial platforms. And so he did something amazing. And when you hear him, you'll know exactly why he's on. He designed a whole invention. In fact, during the podcast, I didn't even know what to call it. But he designed a whole concept to sort of help create some mitigation, some safeguard against dropping things. But his design is a design that a worker can actually use. So it doesn't keep the worker from doing work. In fact, it allows the worker to do work, but the worker can also then drop something, knock it off the top of the railing or kick it off the bottom of the floor of the lift or slip it over the side of the scaffolding, and it's recoverable. And that, my friends, is worth listening to the podcast. So when you listen to this, it's not a long one, but it's a really good one. Listen to it and think, this is a worker, this is an electrician, telling me the story of designing, having an idea, designing the product, testing the product, and then getting a patent for the project. And tell me you aren't impressed with him. Just go ahead and call me and tell me, because you're not going to have to. That's how good this is. So listen carefully to this. I'll come back at the end for just a moment, but there's not a whole lot more I can say other than listen for the energy in his voice. Listen for the excitement he feels around the solution for this problem. And most importantly for us, listen to the way he frames the problem. This, my friends, is what we want in the field. This is what we want in the operating room. This is what we want on the ward. This is what we want. This is Forrest Hester. Listen carefully. Here we go. How did you get into this drops? I'm not saying that's a weird job, but I'm just saying that's a kind of a, there. It'd be like people who design collars for gorillas. There's probably not a lot of them.
I don't think there is a lot of them. And I got into it because my background previous to this was an industrial electrician here in the Houston area. I've worked for various plants. And there was a common way of mitigating the hazard of dropped objects per all the OSHA regulations on a mobile elevated work platform, which was to use just orange scaffolding mesh.
Right.
And about 2 years ago, I got into an argument with an individual in safety because there was no set standard on how to install it. And we would have, just the lower level guys going out there with some zip ties and the mesh. And 45 minutes later, it wasn't even on correct. It didn't mitigate the hazard. And so to my surprise, there was no product on the market that did it. And so I just started working on it and kept working on it, and then later patented it in 80 countries and just kept pushing forward with it. I mean, it was I saw a need for it. And, you know, ultimately it was for the safety of myself and a lot of my family members and friends.
Yeah, anybody underneath you for sure. Well, introduce yourself to us. Who are you and what you doing?
Well, my name is Forrest Hester. I'm the CEO of Tutus LLC, based out of Houston, Texas. And I'm a manufacturer of a dropped object prevention enclosure for aerial work platforms.
Excellent. Excellent. And you were at the recent drops meeting in Houston, which was pretty impressive. That was quite an impressive meeting.
It really was, yes. And I thoroughly enjoyed it and was able to take away quite a bit, just from some of the speakers.
It's interesting to me that people see drops. I mean, I guess before we talk about sort of your invention, which I think is really pretty sexy and kind of cool, let's talk about why that invention makes so much sense. And one of the things that I think is interesting is that people generally, I think, see drops as choices. You know, in fact, I was at a site not very long ago where there was a sign that said, we're 100% drop-free zone. And I said, what do you mean by that? Hoping they would say, you know, we use netting and tool tethers and toe kickboards and, you know, all the kind of stuff that people talk about. And they said, well, you know, we have a drop awareness campaign. And I said, what do you mean by drop awareness campaign? And they said, well, you know, we're really asking our workers to be very careful and to not drop something. What do you think about that phrase?
It's very difficult to be very careful. There's so many different factors in place when you ask a worker to be careful. Me being one for so long, I think I understand that firsthand. You know, you have a job that you're trying to get done, and, you know, when you add in all the factors of what's going on home, the conversation you're having with the guy next to you, and the job you're trying to do, your hand might just go into the wrong spot.
I think what's so interesting about that, and I've thought about this a bunch, is that I think at the basic level, at the foundational level of this problem, which is stuff falling on top of things, equipment, instruments, and people, at the very basic level, that we have to sort of understand that every drop is probably an accident. That if they dropped it on purpose, we actually would call that throw. And if people are throwing stuff, we should probably get rid of them from the job site. You know, I mean, that seems to sort of move beyond safety and kind of into leadership and human relations and selection criteria and, you know, I mean, right? So if you got somebody throwing stuff, well, you can choose to not throw something. But I think fundamentally at every level, the thing about drops is that drops are always going to be unintentional deviations from an expected outcome. And the expected outcome is that I'm going to work in this aerial platform, or I'm going to stand on top of this rig, or I'm going to, you know, be on the third floor of this building, and I'm going to be really careful not to drop anything because I never want to drop anything. But the problem is being careful isn't very good. It's not a control. In fact, asking workers to pay attention feels like the right thing to do, but I'm not sure it's very effective.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think your words are perfectly put because, you know, when you're up there doing the job, it's just like you're saying, you don't grab your tape measure and then just chunk it off of the unit. That doesn't happen. You know, that choice isn't getting made. You know, it's an outcome of whatever the series of events that led up to the occurrence happening.
Right. And that series of events could be, you know, all the things you talked about, the context, the attitude, lighting, weather. I mean, almost anything that could possibly happen on a job site. Well, first of all, two things about that. One is it probably has happened. And if it has not happened, then it probably will happen. So the one thing we really can't control in this problem, and that's why I think this problem is so interesting, is that we really don't manage prevention of dropped objects. We actually manage our resilience, our recovery ability to dropped objects. And that's kind of what you've done. So talk us through, in pretty good detail, we got a little time, talk us through sort of what your program, what your equipment, your invention. Let's go with that. Talk us through with what your invention does. Why is it a great thing to have? Why does it make so much sense? The question I want to ask you, I'm going to try to save it to the end, is why did it take us so long to get here? But I mean, I think that's a good question as well. But kind of walk us through that.
All right. Well, you know, we've coined the phrase DOPS, which is Dropped Object Prevention Solutions, you know, and so we're saying it's a DOPS for MOOPS now, which is the Mobile Elevated Work Platforms. And so that's a wide area, you know, that's your boom lifts, that's your scissor lifts, that's the side of the skyscraper. It's kind of the wide variety, but it encompasses a work platform that an operator gets inside to go at height and has a doorway injury. Some have toe boards, some don't. What our products are doing is completely enclosing that structure, you know, to meet the OSHA standards and to exceed the ANSI requirements. You know, you want it to be strong enough to withstand 50 pounds of force. So those are one of the things that we check off the list to make sure we can do. But where my passion came into developing the product really started at the door. Because my greatest frustration in the field was no matter what we did with a homemade device or a homemade version of a product, the doorway never got covered because it wasn't designed to be covered. And so in creating DOPS, it was so that it was 100%. The doorway, the bottom, there's the control panels, which is above of the work surface, and the control panel typically gets used like a tool shelf. People set their levels and their tape measures, their spud wrenches, any small tool device that gets put in their hands routinely, that's where they set it because it's a comfort zone. Well, it's never been covered before, you know? And so the DOPS product line for the various types of elevated work platforms is so that we can completely cover all of those areas that in the past just never had a solution for.
How did you test it? How did you prototype it?
Well, I have an amazing ally, which is the largest netting manufacturer in North America. They know this industry, well, like the back of their hand. They've been doing it a very long time. And they're an ISO 9001 firm, and so they have a set of standards that they have to live up to. So with the team of their engineers, you know, we really took a hard look at everything and, you know, and we tested it there in site. Have not had third-party testing done on the strength of the material at this time, but I assure everybody that all of the testing was done, and we were very pleased with the results.
Did you go out in the field and mess around with it? I mean, you played with it.
Oh,
yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was kind of the must one. I'm sure I drove some people crazy during the design phase because I kept saying it wasn't easy enough. I wanted to be able to get in that door and out of that lift as if it wasn't even there. And that was a real struggle to be able to do. It would be something that you would need to go to the website to have a better visual of, but oftentimes a worker needs to get their hands through the center of the work platform between the top rail and mid rail, just because of ease of what they're doing. And And so I had to design a way so that we could fold the enclosure halfway down while the operator is still in it, so that we don't cause any restrictions to the worker. Some of those things were, what came into play for me on a personal level that came from me playing around in it. Yes.
Well, and it's fascinating to me that you're coming at this problem really from the worker's perspective. Like, you're not a safety guy. That's not your deal. You're not a engineer, process safety guy. It sounds like you're an electrician that came at this and said, this is what we need in order to be effective. This is how we do the work. And then you just took your knowledge of the problem, the sharp end of the stick, if you will, your highest exposure to risk, highest exposure. And you took that idea and sort of applied it and made it easy to do it right. And that's pretty powerful stuff. I mean, to a great extent, that's as good of a story of kind of the new view for understanding safety as I can think of.
Well, I thank you for that. And truly, I mean, that's what it came down to. I would spend physically 6 hours a day in these lifts, operate them. I was a very good electrician. At one point I was even an NCCER instructor. I've trained people on these lifts, and I have a great amount of pride for what me and my family members and my friends do in this area. And yes, I mean, it is a different perspective, I know. But I think it was the right perspective. And in designing the product, a lot of the things that I thought of and wanted in the product was because I designed it for the end user. That even being tailed down to the material I selected, just for example.
Is it cost prohibitive? Is it pricey? Can a local mom and pop shop pick it up? The bigs can probably pay for it for sure, but.
Yeah, the bigs can definitely pay for it for sure. There's no problem there. I'm trying to get it down to the moms and pops, but there shouldn't be an issue. It's currently comparable to what some of the lift manufacturers are offering as their means of dropped object prevention in the lifts. And so it's a very competitive product, and I hope that we will be able to make it even more competitive.
But the advantage you have over the lift manufacturers is really ease of use, efficiency. I liked what you said about the top tray being a place where you put your tools.
Right.
we can talk about that all day long, but ultimately what I know is I need to have my tools where they are, and it needs to be efficient for me to get to them. And so top tray is a perfect place to do that. And then you're talking about the fact that you really provide a system that's actually more failure tolerant, that actually expects failure to happen at all sorts of levels and is easy to use. So how's it going?
I think it's going great. I feel very blessed, Todd, to tell you that I've never gone into a room and gotten negative feedback. And I can only say that that's because of creating it from the end user's perspective. I'm very grateful with everybody that I met, even, drops. The drops form was a great example. We missed the deadline for even being able to present our product there. And next thing we know, we sent the invitation in to be able to come out and present the product and share, what we hope to be a best practice in AWP. And we were extended the invitation. And we're seeing a lot of situations just like that.
Well, when workers are involved in problem identification and in solution identification, what we find is that the solution is almost always better, and that the engagement in the worker level knowledge actually makes the solution much more sustainable. And that's going to be the fun thing to watch, is as you roll this product out and as it gets around and people are starting to use it, the fun thing is going to be how you adapt it and change it. As people go out into the field and experience it, that feedback loop is really interesting to me.
I couldn't agree more.
Do you see it exclusively just for these aerial platforms, or have you thought about other applications?
There's many applications, and there's so many more ideas in my wheelhouse that at this point, this is the focus. This is the strategic start. But I have so many ideas that come directly firsthand from the industry, you know, because drops doesn't stop, you know, things happen just on the stairwell on your way up, you know, it's not, or the most significant one I can think about that people often forget is when you have to spend 2.5 hours standing in a single location working and you're on grading. Just the fatigue that goes into that. And I think there's very simple solutions to be able to aid the worker and just make it easier on them.
How was getting the patent? Was that just this big pain in the butt?
Actually, it's really not. I was fortunate enough to find an amazing patent attorney out in the Tomball area. And Mr. Jones is phenomenal, made the process very easy. We are still at a patent pending status, taking part in the joys of the amendment processes. And it's not as difficult as people made it out to be.
I'm excited for you. I think it's great. And I think the reason I wanted to get you on the podcast is because I think you really have a couple stories. So you have the story of the fact that the way we're going to manage drops, dropped objects, things that, you know, fall and potentially could hit people or equipment, but I'm quite a bit more interested in people. We manage that not by managing the prevention, although we try hard as we can to prevent that from happening. We manage it by managing the recoverability, you know. So we don't manage the accident. We manage the consequence of the accident. So they're still going to drop. I can still drop my screwdriver. I'm going to drop it. There's no question. The difference is that with a device like you invented, the drop doesn't have the same consequence that it would have had it fallen off the platform and hit somebody in the head. That's one story, and that's a cool story, and that's an important story. But to me, the cooler part of your story is the fact that this is a worker who had an idea and said, this can be better. You know, we can make this better, and you just went out and did it. I mean, that's pretty sweet, really. That's kind of a cool story.
Thank you.
So, anything else we're missing? Because I got one more question I want to ask, because it's the important one. If I wanted to find out about this, what is your website? How would I look at it?
Well, you would go to TUTUS, TUTUS, Drop Prevention, and I'd like to add to all the listeners, TUTUS is spelled like tutus. But I'd like to let everybody know that I chose TUTUS because that's the Latin word for safe, not because it's a ballerina accessory.
Yeah, but it's easy to remember.
Good to remember. TUTUS is not meant to be pronunciated as tutus, but as TUTUS, and it's at tutusdropprevention.com.
TUTUS?
That's where you can certainly find us.
TUTUS drop. Now, see, now I can think of it as tutu. TUTUS.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's true. If I remember.
Let me share that story with you, Todd, if you don't mind.
I got nothing but time. Hit me, baby.
All right. So I was trying to select what I was going to incorporate my business as. And, you know, of course, my wife and I are just spending tremendous amounts of time going back and forth on names. And I find TUTUS, Latin word for save. I think this is a great idea. And so I share it with her, and she said, honey, you cannot choose that name. That means tutus. You named your company tutus. And I jumped up because I was so excited because I knew that all the guys on the field were going to make a joke out of it. And I was like, they're all going to say, did you put your tutu on? That's what they're going to say. They're going to make fun of it. And I loved it because at least then they would remember and they would accept it. Because if there's not a joke behind it, the guys aren't going to use it. But I knew that they would get a laugh out of it. And from now on, I can see it. They're going to say, did you put your tutu on?
I love it, man. I love it. Forrest, thanks for your time, man. I cannot thank you enough for cleaving away a little time out of your busy day to tell your story. Your story is exactly the kind of story we want to have on the podcast. So it was great, man. You did a great job, too.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Todd. I really appreciate it.
And there is your newest buddy in the drops prevention business, Forrest Hester. Was that not sweet? That was the sweetest podcast. That kind of passion, I love people who are passionate, who believe in what they're going to do, and I love people who commit to it. And that just hit me in my sweet spot. Thanks for listening so much, man. Give Forrest a look. Go to his website and see what you can find. It's completely worth your time. It's the way the world works, and you're a big part of it. Until then, have as much fun as you possibly can. Learn something new every single day, and for goodness sakes, be safe.